Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to SightAndVisionRadio.com presents the Ecumenical Health Council Radio Talk Show Monthly Report, a show about your health, everything you want to know, everything you don't know, and everything you need to know about healthy living, healthy eating, and living a spiritual lifestyle. And here to introduce our ministers of health is our own hosted with the mostest, Miss Renee.
Well, in the past, when we suspected elder abuse, we dismissed it as a family issue to be handled within the family. But now we understand that elder abuse must come out of the shadows and that all of us play a role in identifying and stopping it. Our guest, Barbara Givens, founder and president of GATSI, Guardian Angels Transforming Christian Counseling Services, turns the light on this tough subject. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you, Renee, and thank you again for having me. This is such an opportunity to share what the seniors and I are doing in this community. Thank you very much.
You are more than welcome. June is Elder Abuse Awareness Month, and it is a tough subject. But we're going to discuss it and solutions, too. Now, Barbara, what is a working definition of elder abuse?
Thank you so much for asking. And that is, elder abuse is intentional behavior that stops victims mm-hmm. from doing what they wish to do, or forces them to behave against their will. Elderly abuse in any form is just basic abuse, and there are four or five primary ones. Number one, physical abuse. We all are familiar with that. Emotional mm-hmm. abuse, where we are not very kind or not very nice to someone who is older or disabled. Sexual abuse. Believe it or not, a lot of seniors are still sexually active, and that is causing some problems in the community. There's financial abuse. I think we've all heard about the grandson that comes and gets the grandmother's car and doesn't return it, and things along those lines. There's also abandonment. Some seniors are not feeling very well, and they never get visitors. And, of course, there's more. The sad part is that these abuses can be caused by nursing home staff members, family mm-hmm. members, caretakers, friends, and even neighbors. Mm-hmm. And we all mm-hmm. have to step up to the plate and do what we can to stop this kind of abuse.
Well, you know, in doing my research, I was surprised at sexual abuse. I don't think of seniors, vulnerable seniors, as being a victim of that, but I have read of cases, and it's really, really disturbing. And the financial abuse, we usually hear about it when it's on the television, and I did not realize in excess of $2 billion is taken from seniors every year. $2 billion. That's an amazing. I want to ask you about one kind of abuse that I didn't hear you mention, and that's the verbal and emotional abuse. How often does that happen within the context of whether it's a nursing home, a caregiver, or somebody else that is working with a senior?
That happens a lot. emotional abuse, and of course verbal abuse, making humiliating remarks, name-calling, mocking, yelling, blaming, swearing, interrupting, threatening, harming pets, because that person knows that the senior is going to be upset by the pets being hurt. Also, destroying personal property, withholding affections, not respecting the victim's feelings, their rights, and their opinions. And, you know, as we grow older, we certainly have opinions.
Yes, we do, and it seems like they come daily.
Yes.
But the statistics are really sobering. One person in 10 over the age of 60 has experienced it, but only one in 14 cases is reported, and 66% of women make up elder abuse. Why is that, Barbara?
Because one of the reasons is that that individual may not recognize that the situation is abusive. They don't have a name for it. We have seniors who come to our support group, and they will say things like, "Now I know what that was. I didn't recognize it. I didn't understand domestic violence and what it really means." And then some people culturally have lived that way all their lives, so it is a norm to a certain extent. They know they're unhappy. They're being penalized, they're in pain, but they don't quite know how to explain it to someone else, and so they don't report it.
So as an outsider, what do we do if we suspect any of the abuses that you named?
Okay,
do we have a responsibility as part of society, as part of a community?
Exactly. The first thing we want to do, if possible, is to speak to the victim first and alone. Get them by themselves if you can. The worst thing we can do is to go up to that person in front of the abuser and say, "Are you okay, or is he bothering you?" So what is that abuser going to do when you walk away? They're going to take it out on the victim. So you want to get that person alone if you possibly can. And the victim may be afraid to report the abuse. You can always send an anonymous letter or make an anonymous phone call to several agencies or just simply dial 211. That's the new catch-all number, 211, and voice your complaint there.
Well, that does give the person who wants to do the right thing a little bit of protection. Who should report elder abuse? Should it be a neighbor, a friend, a family member? Who has that responsibility?
Everyone. Everyone has that responsibility. And we want to try to make sure that what we are seeing is actually abuse, okay? So sometimes we need to really pay attention. For instance, I was in the store, my favorite store, the dollar store, and this young lady was yelling at her grandma, "Grandma, grandma," you know. So I kind of hinted that maybe she shouldn't speak to grandma like that. And she said, "Grandma can't hear." So, and then the grandmother came around. So I said, "Okay, I understand." And my next question was, because this person, when we walked out of the store, they're driving a very expensive car, "Get grandma a hearing aid." But on the first reaction, it was as if she was really abusing and disrespecting her grandmother. But she was saying things like, "Grandma, are you sure you've got enough? Do you want this or do you want that?" So I had to really pay attention to the fact that she was showing love for her grandmother, even though she was yelling at her. So we want to be really careful about the situation before we make a complaint.
I think that that is so important because, you know, we want to say, I know it when I see it. But as you said, by going the second level and inquiring, having the person alone where you can ask them, do they feel safe or that kind of thing, that is the second level, and I think that that's important. Let me ask you another question. Is the victim, and I guess that's the, or the person who is on the receiving end of the abuse, are they afraid that they will be removed from their home and may not express their fear and their concern?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes they are, but let me just look at it from another perspective. Sometimes the seniors or the victims are very mean themselves. Sometimes they may create situations. Sometimes we're angry because we've gotten older. We can't do the things we want to do. I've seen seniors who are actually holding their families in hostage. So at our support group, they can come in and they can talk about situations, and we often refer them for counseling. So the seniors should not be victimized, but the seniors should not be the abuser as well. And sometimes we have to say to them, you can go back to school. You can start a business. You've got all this talent. You can do other things. And then if there's someone preventing you from making these accomplishments, you can speak out and you can get help. But seniors are very, very talented in most cases because we know stuff. And our job, according to God, is to pass that stuff on to the younger generation. And a part of that is the wisdom so that they can make better decisions in their lives. So we try to encourage the seniors to do those things that make them happy. And we have noticed that the ones who are victimized, some of the ones who are victimized are those that are not doing anything else. They're not reading. They don't know what their rights are. They're not taking computer classes. Prince George's County really has a lot of resources and opportunities for senior citizens. Now, there's no excuse for abuse at all, but we try to encourage our seniors that we come in contact with to volunteer, to share your knowledge, share your talents, and share your gifts, and it's going to make you a happier person as well. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes absolute sense, and one of the things that we do on this show is Reverend Radio Ray usually opens up with a call to action. And that's what he always is encouraging seniors to do. Find out where your passions lie and then volunteer in that area. And I think we keep saying if you don't use it, you lose it, whether it's your mental faculties, your physical, your culture, your talents. Of course, that makes sense to us. Let me ask you another question because we'll be going to break in just a little bit. But is abuse limited by socioeconomic status?
Oh, no. I've had seniors come to the support group. One lady had an enormous amount of jewelry that had been taken from her and pawned, and so we were able to help her go and get that jewelry back. And then we've got some with doctorate degrees that are being abused. So it doesn't matter what age, what your financial situation is, what your culture is. I tell you, we're getting the gamut coming through. And basically, it's a means of controlling that individual. And as we try to teach domestic violence victims of any age, take your control back. And you need to be to learn how to do that in a very determined but very kind way. You don't have to get to the level of violence in order to exert your independence. And so that's kind of what we teach when those come to the class.
Okay, well, on the other side of the break, we will learn what our guest, Barbara Givens, president of GACSEES, is doing to help stop elder abuse. But we've got to pay a few bills, so we're going to turn it over to Reverend Radio Ray. Reverend Ray, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. You're listening to blogtalkradio.com/mockingpulpit, and the show is the Ecumenical Health Council Radio Talk Show. Their monthly report, and you can visit them at their new website, www.ecumenicalhealthcouncil.org, or you can call 240-687-5725. That's 240-687-5725. And our host is Commissioner Coach Ray Smith and Pastor Willie W. Duvall. And they're heard here every Monday at this time, so please tune in. And also, if you go to their website, you can listen to past radio shows. So we're going to turn it over again to our host with the mostest and with our ministers of health and their special guest today, Miss Renee.
Well, again, we want to thank the Ecumenical Health Council for providing our guest, Barbara Givens of GACSEES, who is highlighting this month, June, the month of elder abuse, and that this is a very tough subject to talk about, but also a very needed subject. And she certainly has raised a lot of ideas and thoughts that many of us were not familiar with, abandonment being one of them. I hadn't thought about that as being part of the seniors, but we've been talking here about physical and emotional abuse, financial exploitation, neglect, and verbal and emotional abuse, and even sexual abuse. And one of the things that I appreciate, Barbara, that you raised is that sometimes some of the seniors are a little bit tough to get along with, and so sometimes we have to go we have to do a little bit more with them to help them also stop holding their families hostage. And I like that term, that does happen. But what role does GACSEES play in stopping elder abuse?
Okay. We are playing a lot of different roles because we found out when we started meeting that some of the seniors were hungry. So we distribute free food every third Thursday of the month. So they're getting free food. We also offer a free job readiness workshop. A lot of seniors are going back to work. A lot of them are intelligent. They have excellent skill sets. And some employers want seniors because they don't get pregnant, they come to work on time, and they know stuff. So want seniors to work for them, okay? We also offer an annual senior citizens graduation and prom ceremony event. This year was our eighth event where we honor seniors in five categories: volunteer work in the community, those who have returned to school, gotten their GEDs, gone back to college, miracles. We've had seniors who've had cancer and recovered. We had a young lady who's operating with 95% of her digestive tract gone away. Our oldest member passed last January. She was 107 years old. And
wow.
Then we have the seniors who are starting new businesses. They're entrepreneurs and doing very, very well at it. So by being active, this is a deterrent against being abused, and also it allows the family to see us in a different light, a more positive light, and therefore we're getting more respect and more support. One of our mantras is the scripture, Psalms 72:18, and it reads, "And now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. And we believe in that. So just because we've gotten old, it doesn't mean that there are not things we can't do and that we cannot be happy. We're still dancing. We're still exercising. And in the job readiness workshop, the seniors come through and talk about their employment and what they learned on the job. And it is really helping a lot of our students who come in of all ages looking for work. I'd like to quickly give you for instance, this young man came in. He thinks he's going to be fired. He said the problem was his employer did not appreciate his talents and was not willing to promote him. And so I said, well, how long have you been working on that job? And he said, 2 months. He didn't have a clue that he was supposed to work on the job and earn the right to be promoted. So these are things we're teaching that maybe folks have not been taught before, how to dress, good attitude. Don't drink beer before you're going the night before the interview, and things like that. And some of the students are saying, we've never heard these things before.
It's interesting that our program focuses on seniors and persons with disabilities, and sometimes we're offering information on services, but as you have highlighted here, that oftentimes these seniors and persons with disabilities have a wealth of information to offer. And it's just interesting that today I read an article that fewer high schoolers, young people, are taking summer jobs. There was a time that was a rite of passage. And employers are saying just what you identified. They would rather have a senior whom they know is going to be there on time, will not call off for, you know, this reason or that reason. So seniors are a very valuable resource, but also they could very well be a mentor for young people who don't know those things. I mean, you learn a lot of things in taking these getting to my goal kind of jobs, that's what I call them, about being on time and not drinking the night before and partying with your friends and then coming in and smelling of alcohol. I don't know why people who drink don't think you can smell it the next day, but you can. So I think you've made a really important connection there. There is a real mentoring opportunity for established seniors who can help guide these young people. But I want to be mindful of our time. How can listeners get in touch with GATC?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much. We have two phone numbers I'd like to give. And
all
one
right.
is 202-629-8276 and 301-277-3775. And we're at the Bladensburg Community Center any Wednesday from 10 to 1, and they can just walk in, and we'll be happy to assist them.
Okay,
I'd like
I want
to also
get those phone numbers. I
okay.
want to get those phone numbers again because I don't think I got all of it. So it's area code 202. What's the rest of it?
629-8279. Okay, 202-629-8276.
Okay.
And 301-277-3775.
Okay, and I know that some seniors don't necessarily go on the website, and it's so important to be able to get in touch with them. And every Wednesday between 10 and 1, they can come into the Bladensburg Center. And where is that located, Ms. Givens?
That's right next door to the Bladensburg High School. The address is 4500 57th Avenue, Bladensburg, Maryland.
All right. Well, I again, time waits for no man, woman, or senior. And I know that when you talk about entrepreneurship, it probably has Reverend Radio Ray's juices, because he is a firm believer in entrepreneurship for any age, but especially seniors. So we will turn this back over to Reverend Ray. Are you there with your questions?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Again, welcome to the Ecumenical Health Council Report radio show. And Ms. Givens, thank you for being on. This is so important, because I know working with Washington, D.C. and their senior programs, I know there's close to 100 and, I don't know, probably 110 or more seniors there now that they have on the books. At least they can record out of maybe 600,000 persons live in Washington, D.C., and I suspect in Prince George County there's over 800,000 persons, so
exactly.
I'm close to probably almost probably a couple hundred thousand seniors. And as time moves on, because of medical and technology, people are living much longer, much
exactly.
longer. So it's so important to have these programs. Now, you mentioned, referred to you all have a support group that meets. Can you tell
yes.
us about the support group, please? When it meets, what time, and just what's the protocol?
Okay, great. Our domestic violence support group meets each second and fourth Monday at the Bladensburg Community Center from noon to 2 or 2:30. Everyone brings a dish and places it on the table, and we cover all areas. You can testify, give a testimony, and this Monday, in fact, the topic is elderly abuse awareness, and we're going to be addressing that. And everyone is welcome, male and female. So it's the second and fourth Monday of each month. I'd like to also add that we're having a fundraiser, and that is scheduled for Saturday, August the 12th, 6 to 9 p.m. at the Elizabeth Seton High School Auditorium. And it is, the theme is Victory Over Domestic Violence.
Mm.
We are honoring those who have achieved after abuse. Domestic violence destroys so many lives, but these are ladies who have come out on the other end. And we're going to make it fun. It's going to be a masquerade gala. Tickets are only $10. We've got speakers, refreshments, dancing, and music by Brother Dwayne Shields and the Blues Review Band. So we're going to have a really nice.
Oh, okay. Well, now, you mentioned real quick, because we're up against the time, a Thursday support group.
Domestic violence support group, and that's Monday.
No, but did you say you have a meeting on Thursday? Or there was I thought it was a support group on Thursday. No?
We have a free food giveaway on every third Thursday. And we feed
right
around 250 people.
And that's located where?
Bladensburg Community Center, external grounds. We're right on the outside, and we're there every third Thursday. We also pass out free clothing, job literature, and free food.
All right. We're going to post all that on our website. And, again, thank you very, very much. And we'll look forward to having you on the show again. And, matter of fact, we're going to probably visit you in some of these activities. So thank you, And thank you, Coach Smith, and we'll look forward to next month, again, bringing information that is very vital and important to the community. So this is Reverend Ray, and I like to say, you might not have sight, but you can have vision. God bless. God bless. Thank you.
God bless.
Great show, Barbara. Great show.
Thank you so much. This is such
a blessing. Thank you. Wonderful. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you, Reverend Ray and Sister Renee. God bless you all. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.